Well, thank you, Gwyn, and thank you very much for that. And it should be welcome back to the iCare conference for reasons I'll explain shortly. I always enjoy your laconic style of chairmanship. I hope they booked you for the Eurovision Song Contest. I'm sure the invite's in the post. So it is a delight to be here with you today, and I've been hearing a little bit about your proceedings this morning. Just before I get into it, I mean, I know a lot of people don't know what a chief medical officer is, not least my kids. My kids are always asking me, they say, so you're a doctor? What does that mean? So what do you actually do? You don't see patients? What's that all about? And so I have to explain to them that I really have three roles as a chief medical officer. One is to advise ministers, the minister you met this morning, of course, you know, but all the ministers across Welsh Government. But I also, I'm the medical director for the NHS, so anything wrong with the NHS, dare I say, is there anything wrong, you know, tends to land on my desk. And if I can't do that, I send it up to Andrew Goodall, who's my boss, because everybody has a boss. And the third bit is about being an advocate on behalf of the population for good health. So those are my three roles, that's all I do really. And when I think about eye care, all of those three roles are captured in what I try and do with eye care. I advise the minister, I try and help the NHS to sort itself out, and I really try to advocate on behalf of the community, of many of you, so that we get better eye care services. So I'm always delighted to come. And I was thinking about this because I've only been in post now for 3 years, which is my fourth appearance at this conference. And I was trying to figure out how that was. And of course it was because I got invited. It was one of the first things I did when I first moved to Wales. I got invited to a conference just I think 4 years ago. So it's the only conference I can say. I think I'm absolutely right. I can say that I come to every year. Well, I've been to every year since I've been here. So it's something that I really enjoy, and I that enthuses me. Now. When I was thinking back to previous conferences, I know we've been kind of looking backwards quite a lot, particularly last year, because if you remember last year it was the 70th birthday of the NHS, so it was like a big celebration for many of us. But we were looking back and we were thinking about what's happened and all the changes that had happened in the service, around eye care of course, but more generally in the NHS. And it was quite an exciting time. I know you've been looking back again this morning, but there is a time, of course, to look forwards. And I think part of this conference, and I was delighted to see on the agenda, is about looking forwards, about thinking about what the future is going to hold for eye care services. And that's really important because I suppose a theme of the messages I've given in the past and that I reiterate today is that we are making progress. I genuinely believe we're making progress, but there is more, much more, that we need to do. And we need to do it in partnership, we need to do it with patients, with the public, with many of you, and with the NGOs who support you and work with you. We can never be complacent, we can't afford to be that. I'm very conscious of that, and I'm well aware, because of that second bit of my job, about the issues that arise in the NHS and the failures that we sometimes see in the services we deliver. And we need to get better at identifying those, at managing those, at learning from those, and at improving the system because of those. Apart from the fact that I've been here every year, I'm kind of interested in eye care. I don't know if I told you this story before, but this is the graveyard slot, isn't it? You know, the 2 o'clock slot after lunch. I was really delighted, by the way, to see many of you sitting outside and enjoying a little bit of sunshine, because this must rank as one of the most airless rooms in the university. So it was great that you got outside to do that. Before I came to Wales, I was working for a few years as Deputy Chief Medical Officer in a place called Halifax, Nova Scotia, not the Halifax, you know, grim Halifax up in Yorkshire there. So I worked there for a few years, and I noticed not long after I arrived there that eye care was a big issue in Halifax. I saw a lot of seeing eye dogs, I saw a lot of people with visual impairment aids walking around, I saw very good traffic control systems which gave good auditory signals to people who had visual impairment. And it felt to me, as a kind of an amateur epidemiologist, you know, which is what a public health person like myself is, it felt to me as if there were more visually impaired people in the city than I would have expected just by, you know, by normal statistics. So I started asking questions about why that was. And that's how I got to hear about the Halifax explosion, of course. Now, some of you will have heard of the Halifax explosion, but perhaps some of you won't. But it's quite a big issue in Halifax. And the story, the historical truth is that towards the end of the First World War, it was actually in the run-up to Christmas in 1917, early December, there were two boats in Halifax. Has a very deep, deep water harbour. And there were two boats moored in there, in that harbour. One was a French munition ship, it was called the Mont Blanc, and it was laden, heavily laden with ammunition, which was explosives, which were heading off, they'd come up from New York, and they were heading over to Bordeaux in France to support the war effort. And there was another boat, a cargo ship, a Norwegian ship called the Emo, which was also harboured in. And for some reason, and it's a little bit unclear which ship slipped its anchor, but one of them did, and I think it was the Emo, and it kind of gently moved across the bay in the dark, the early morning, and at about 8:45 in the morning, the two boats just rubbed up gently against each other, quite gently, but enough, because they were wooden ships, to create a bit of a spark. And the spark then lit the fumes which were contained in the explosives on the Mont Blanc, and the whole thing went up in flames and drifted towards the Dartmouth shore, away from Halifax, but towards Dartmouth, another settlement on the opposite side of the harbour. And the abandoned ship was given, and eventually the whole thing blew up. And it was the biggest explosion that the world has ever seen before the nuclear era, the pre-nuclear era, the biggest explosion ever. And as a consequence of this, the ship's anchor, which weighed about 2 tonne, flew about 3/4 of a mile and landed about 3/4 of a mile away. All the houses in that area were flattened. There was a mini tsunami went up and wiped out a Mi'kmaq, that's a native Canadian, Native American community, slightly further up the harbour. And about 2,000 people were killed in that explosion, and about 9,000 people were injured. And many of the injuries were caused by flying glass from the buildings, and that was why there were a lot of people went blind. And the message went out across the whole of North America, and many physicians moved up from Boston. They came up to support the effort up there, because this was such a huge tragedy. And many eye doctors, ophthalmologists, moved up to Halifax. And it became a regional centre for excellence, and is so to this day. One of the small consequences of it is a thank you gesture to Boston, where all these doctors and nurses and support workers have come from. Every year in Halifax, they chop down a tree, a large tree, and they ship it down, and it becomes the Christmas tree that you'll see on Boston Common every year. So if that isn't a little story of international collaboration and goodwill that doesn't warm the cockles of your heart in these Brexhaustian times, that's quite what is. So I wanted to tell you that because it was a nice story just to think about the importance of eye care and where it comes from. And I know we have centres of excellence here in Wales, but that was one that really inspired me and made me think a lot more about eye care. Pause for refreshment. So, where's David? David, I'm way off script. I'll try and get back on, and I'm probably way off time as well, but I do try to get back. So, what are the challenges ahead? Well, I said it last year, I'll say it again. We know that eye care is becoming increasingly important, not least because the prevalence of eye conditions and sight-affecting conditions is increasing, and that's part of our demography. It's a good it's a consequence of the good news story that we're living longer, that we have a good news story to tell in Wales and across most of the UK, that we are actually living longer, and so we're an ageing population, and with that comes increasing burden of an increasing challenge around eye care. And some statistics, you don't need lots of numbers, but you know, you probably know this, you know, about 800,000, just short of 800,000 people have an eye test through the community services every year. About 180,000 people use the eye health examination Wales system, and we have huge numbers of people, about 120,000, 115,000 or so, going through the diabetic eye screening. So enormous amounts of activity. And with that enormous amount of activity and it increasing, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that what we need to do is to think very carefully about our service models and about how we work. And I know that the minister was here with you this morning, and I think he was talking about the need to reshape services, to move services perhaps away from hospitals back towards the community, and that's a real challenge for us as to how we do that. And we look to this kind of conference and to the thinking of people in this room to see how we can achieve that, because there was a big inquiry into outpatient services recently within Welsh Government, and it's recognised that we need to really tackle outpatient. There's far too many people going waiting in hospital when they don't need to be. It doesn't help the patient, doesn't help the doctors, doesn't help the staff, doesn't help the parking, doesn't help anybody. So we need to move the service and think about new models of care. And as part of that, one of the things that I'm quite enjoying at the moment is that some of you will know that we produced just over a year ago in Welsh Government, we produced a new plan for our health system called A Healthier Wales, and that's a 10-year plan for how we're going to deliver healthcare, and that move to the community is very much a part of that. Part of my job is to develop a national clinical plan as to how we're going to deliver services more generally, not just eye care, but for services more generally across Wales. It's not about, you know, which hospital it's going to be, it's about the broad principles that we will use to redefine our healthcare system. And I'm very, very keen that we make sure that, I was just talking to Fiona a little earlier, that we make sure that eye care is integral to that plan. It's all based on prudent healthcare. We've talked about that before at this conference. The prudent healthcare principle, very important to us here in Wales, making sure we have equity, good access, that we don't waste resource, and that we learn from experience. So all of those things are really important. Making sure that we base our decision making and our planning on what matters to patients, on patient reported outcomes, patient outcomes, not just on process and the number of people passing through the system. So some big opportunities in there in the National Clinical Plan, and I'm committed to making sure that we address some of the eye care challenges through that, really. It will require us to think differently, it will require us to think regionally about what we can provide. I sometimes think about cataract surgery. I feel that, you know, there's some services we just have to have really close to where people live. You know, if you think about something completely different, let's say kidney care. A lot of people need renal dialysis. Well, you don't want to travel big distance if you're having daily renal dialysis. You can't do that. And it's the same if you're having injections for wet MD. You don't want to have to travel a lot. You need it as close as you can to your community. But for some things, like, I mean, how many cataract operations, how many cataract replacements do we have in our lifetimes? Probably, hopefully, two would be the maximum. And so maybe it's reasonable to think about, well, would it be better to travel a bit further and go to a larger centre and have a better assured outcome for those two occasions where I need to have a cataract? So those are just the sorts of things that we're trying to think through in terms of a national clinical plan. You'll hear a lot of talk in future about pathways and about different pathways and how we can redefine pathways. And I think that eye care is absolutely right for that. And I know when I've talked to some of the, you know, ophthalmologists and the optometrists, and certainly to David, when I talk to all of you, I know that there's an appetite for change, that there's a realization that the current system, okay, it's meeting need, but it's not meeting need as effectively as it can, that we do need to think about the whole pathway and redesign the pathway. So that's just a hint of some of the things to come. And I apologise if I've been speaking very fast. I do tend to do that. But thank you very much for your instinctive support. You could have told me to slow down. But I had a lot to get through. And I'm delighted to be here. I wish you well for the rest of this conference. I look forward, David, to hearing the outcome and any kind of hints as to how we can get better connected, particularly into the National Clinical Plan. I look forward to continuing to work with you on improving eye care and eye care services for the people of Wales. And I might even look forward to coming back a fifth time next year. Thank you very much, everybody.